Take your Bibles, please, with me this morning and turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Today I want to draw your attention here to Titus chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at three manifestations of the new birth. The new birth means something. There are certain things that are true about the new birth. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, there is something that is true and real and instantaneous that you need to be aware of. This morning, as we consider this passage of Scripture, we're going to specifically deal with regeneration, what that means, and we're going to look at three manifestations of the new birth in the believer's life. Let's begin reading at verse 1 of Titus chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers or different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and evil, hateful, and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed abroad or shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be heirs, made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Father in heaven, we thank You for the testimony of this passage of Scripture. Lord, we thank You that salvation does indeed mean something. That regeneration is the implanting of a brand new disposition within the heart. Lord, we thank You for the new birth that's only accomplished through the power of Jesus Christ. We ask, dear Lord, that You would give us ears to hear this morning. We pray that You would work in our hearts and that You would teach us from Your holy word. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You'll find here the word regeneration that's used in verse 5. It's only used two times in the Bible. It's used in the book of Matthew and here in Titus chapter 3. And the word is basically a translation of two Greek words, palingenesia. Palingenesia. Palin meaning again, and genesia, which we get our word Genesis from, which means birth. So simply put, it means a new birth. A new beginning, a new order. When Paul used this word in Titus 3 and verse 5, he wrote, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's how He accomplished it. That's how that work was done. Now, you read in the earlier verses here how that those that were apart from God lived a life that had a disposition before that was hostile to God. It was a hostile disposition. Notice that, please, in verse 3. For we ourselves also, now notice this word, were. Oh, that's a word. Something's happened. We used to be this way, but now we're this way. What happened? What were we like before? Well, it says here, we were foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived. We were serving our desires and pleasures. We were living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But then I want you to notice verse 4, there's a conjunction of contrast. I love this in the Word of God. Three-letter English word, what is it? But. Conjunction of contrast. We were this, but something happened, and now we're this. And the Bible is so clear. Someone appeared. And who is that someone that appeared? Jesus Christ. Verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, and He did this through regeneration by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now this is so important for us to get a hold of. Paul used this word in referring to the regeneration of the individual soul. being born again into God's new order. This new order is His body, the church. It is not an organization, but a spiritual creation. We are literally put into Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be saved, to be regenerated. I don't have life in and of myself. I have death. The Bible says that we are dead in trespasses and in sin. I am a living death before I'm saved. But in Christ Jesus, I am put into Him, and I receive, the moment I'm saved, instantaneously, new life through a new birth in Jesus Christ, performed by the Holy Spirit of God. No effort on my part brought about this salvation. It was simply repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, aha, you did something. You repented. You believed. Listen, God told me to do that. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. Repent and believe the gospel. I can do anything God tells me to do because He puts His omnipotent power behind it. If God says, Todd Brainerd, you repent, I can repent. That's not a work. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a work. That is God's work in me. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Not something I've done. No effort on my part. Not of works, Ephesians 2:9 says, lest any man should what? Boast. Regeneration then may be defined as an act of God whereby He bestows upon the believing sinner new life. This life is God's own life, the imparting of His nature. God Himself is the source and bestower of His life to you and to me, so that believers are said to be, according to 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, partakers of the divine nature. I'm going to use literal words from the Bible here. We are made partakers of His divine nature. We are created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. We are born of God, John 1 and verse 13, and a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Those are all phrases from the Bible that explain and tell us what happens the moment we are saved. We are regenerated. Now, there are manifestations of the new birth that are real and that can be manifested and are manifested whenever somebody gets saved. I didn't say might, I did not say could, but I said will be manifested. Because God is alive, and His Spirit is alive, and Jesus Christ is alive, and when you're put into Him, you're made alive at that moment. So if you still love death, talking about sin and trespasses, if you still love that, then something hasn't taken place. Something hasn't taken place. Now, regeneration, I want you to get this. Regeneration is not a lengthy process. Don't confuse it, please, with sanctification. Sanctification is God making you what He's declared you to be in Christ Jesus. That's where He's doing His work of polishing and making us more like His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm talking about new life in Christ, being born again. It is an instantaneous change of disposition. This new disposition is not something that grows or develops in a person over a period of time. It is something that comes in an instant the moment you are saved. This isn't being preached today. This isn't being preached today. It's sad, but it's true. What happens? One moment, you're totally without it. You come to faith in Jesus Christ, having repented of your sin, casting your case to Him, and now you have it. You had a hostile disposition before. Now you have a holy disposition. It's instantaneous. It happens in a moment. Romans 8 and verse 7 gives a clear presentation of my old disposition before salvation. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The New American Standard puts it this way: the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not ever able to do so. That's the old disposition. It's hostile toward God. It doesn't want to obey the law. It doesn't want to be under the law. It's a rebel to God's law. But the moment a person gets saved, a new disposition is given at that point. And we move from hostility and enmity toward God to loving God and wanting to hear what He has to say and what He has to teach, and we want His work performed. That's instantaneous. Amen. Oh, it's kind of quiet out there. But it's true. The Bible says so. The moment a person is genuinely saved, they instantly move from a hostile disposition to a holy disposition. This new disposition or nature is favorably oriented toward God. This is what is meant by 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, where we read, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new" what? Creature. Creation. And then he goes on to say, "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Paul the Apostle in 1 Timothy 1:16 says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering," get this now, "for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." Paul is saying, my testimony, my salvation is a pattern. Now think about it for just a moment on the road to Damascus. Here was the Apostle Paul. He was going to go to Damascus to do what? He was going to arrest Christians and maybe even murder a few of them. That's what his mission was. He thought he was serving God while he was doing that. But he was struck down on the road to Damascus and he was given a new disposition. And whenever he got saved at that moment, he went on to Damascus. But he didn't go there to kill Christians. He went there to preach the gospel so that people might become Christians. You know what I call that? I call that a radical change, and it was instant. It was instantaneous. One moment, he was going to kill Christians. The next moment, he gets saved, and he's going to see them come to Christ by proclaiming the Word of God. The only way I can say it is that he got saved. He was regenerated. Salvation means something. It's a wonderful thing. It's interesting in Acts chapter 9 and verse 20. It says, "After he was converted, he straightway preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." I like that word, straightway. You know what the Greek word is? Immediately. Immediately. He had before been in the synagogues, reading the scriptures from the scrolls and ordering the Jews to kill as many Christians as they can and make sure they're arrested because they're trying to take away from the law. They're telling you that you don't need the law anymore. They're telling you that they can trust in Jesus Christ alone and be saved and be delivered, but we all know that's wrong. You got to keep the law in order to be saved. You got to obey the law. You got to do this. You got to do that. Paul was saying this Christianity stuff is a detriment to what we teach and believe. But the moment he got saved, we're told he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God, instantaneously. One of the most powerful personal evangelists of the 19th century was a man by the name of Uncle John Vassar. Maybe you've heard of his name before. He grew up in Poughkeepsie, New York. His father was a brewer. Following his conversion to Christ, Vassar immediately abandoned beer making for evangelism. On May the 15th, 1850, he was commissioned as an agent for the American Tract Society of New York. And Vassar took off across this land, giving out Christian literature and speaking to everyone he came in contact with about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what happened? He had a new disposition. Nobody had to come up and tell him, "Listen, John, you know what? Beer making's probably not a good idea for you now." "Oh, really? You think so? You think I ought to quit that?" You know what he did? He went and witnessed to his father, and he said, "Daddy, I will not be at work anymore. I got saved. I was converted. Today we have people in our churches who make their way home from morning service to down a few beers and a sandwich so they can watch their basketball games and football games. Their disposition has never changed. Yet Uncle John Vassar, the moment he got saved, he knew it was wrong. He knew it was wrong. And he left that lucrative business that would have made him a multimillionaire. He left it all behind to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about Billy Bray, another 19th century man. Vile. Oh, he was vile. Filthy mouth. Coal miner. From Cornwall, England. I mean, he could cuss a blue streak. Everybody that knew Billy Bray knew what kind of a man he was. He was vile. But he got saved in 1832. And it is said that after his conversion, every day he would walk out of the coal mine and he would go up to his little community up there on the hillside, and he would go door to door and would witness. Do you know that he reached everybody in that little community with the gospel? And once he reached them all, he said, we've got to do something. We've got to teach these people. We've got to preach God's Word. And so he organized the community to build a building so that they could have a place to meet for all these people that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. After his conversion, they said there was never a dirty word that was uttered by Billy Bray. The man who cursed the blue streak down in the coal mines, that fouled the ears of everybody he spoke to, was now going and blessing people by sharing with them the good news of Jesus Christ. You know what happened? New disposition. Regeneration. That's what happened. He was remarkably changed. Now, very quickly this morning, I want to show you three manifestations of regeneration or the new birth. What can you expect? What will be the reality of a person that's been changed by the gospel, changed by the power of Jesus Christ? Number one, the new birth results in a new life. The new birth results in a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The regenerated person can testify that all things are different now. I will never forget Dr. Hobbs talking about how he was saved. And he often said this. I heard this as a child growing up, all the way up to the end of his life. He said it was like the whole world had been washed clean. New life. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things are. And everybody that has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's genuine and real, can all say that everything changed. Attitudes changed. Philosophy of life changed. Music changed. Everything changed when we came to Jesus Christ. C.I. Schofield, many of you have a Schofield reference Bible. C.I. Schofield was a brilliant international attorney from Kansas. There's some good people that come from Kansas. Yeah. C.I. Schofield was a brilliant attorney, involved in international affairs, appointed by the territorial governor to represent the United States of America in all international affairs in that state, dealing with trade pacts with other nations. It was C.I. Schofield that they called on. He had a big problem, though. He was a heavy drinker. Sometimes he would show up in court drunk because he had been out partying all night before. But he got saved. He was converted. He was regenerated. Dr. Lewis Sperry Schaefer, who founded Dallas Theological Seminary back whenever it used to be good, often heard Dr. Schofield pray this way. Because they would have prayer times together. He invited Dr. Schofield to come on occasion to speak there at the college. And this is what Schofield prayed. He said, Dear Lord, if my mother doesn't know that I've been converted, would you please tell her? It was the burden of his life. Because his mother had prayed for him all through those years and she died before he was saved. And it was the burden of his heart that God would just slip over to her in heaven and say to her, Listen, C.I. was saved. That was his prayer. Lord, if you haven't told her yet, please tell her, because it was a burden on his heart. His mother prayed every day for him to be saved, and he was changed. He went from a drunkard to a sober individual. He didn't have to go to a recovery center. He didn't have to go to some kind of an addictions program. He was changed in a moment. It's called regeneration. He was given new life. New life. A complete change comes with conversion. We have here a new creation as against an old creation. The source of the old creation was Adam. Everybody here that has been born received Adam's disposition. I'm not talking about Adam Watt back here. You got Adam, the first Adam's disposition towards sin. But when you get saved, you get the second Adam's disposition. Amen? The second Adam's disposition loves God, wants to do what's right, has a change of heart. They have a favorable disposition to God now. Oh, that's so important for us to understand. The new birth does not eradicate the old nature. Don't misunderstand me. The new birth does not eradicate the old nature. It dethrones it. It takes it off the throne of your life and puts the new man on the throne, puts Jesus Christ on the throne. The new creation begins with Christ, and nothing and no one can sit on His throne. That's such a beautiful picture. I want you to see, secondly, that the new birth results in a new fellowship. Now listen to me now, in a new fellowship. Listen to this verse from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life. Now that's pretty clear. We know that we have passed from death over here unto life. How do we know that that's the case? Listen carefully. Because we love the brethren. What? I know that I have passed from death unto life because I love other brothers, sisters in Christ. Let me tell you something. You've got a problem with God's saints. You've got a problem with God. If your life is eaten up with hatred for other people, hatred of people that are Christians, something is desperately wrong with you. The Bible says that you can know that you've passed from death unto life if you love the brethren. When one is born again, he instinctively is drawn to persons of like precious faith. All regenerated persons are one in Christ. Wayne Turner was telling me last night, they went out to a campground in Nebraska back a few years ago, and they met a couple out there. And they were immediately drawn to each other, and the couple said, "You look like Christians. Are y'all Christians?" Said, "Yes, we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ." And they were so excited that they had found another Christian couple. Said, "We want you to come to our church. We go to a fundamental church down here. We'd like you to come and visit with us. And we want you to stay for supper after church, and we won't take no for an answer." Now, the Turners had never met this couple before in their life. But isn't it interesting that when you meet somebody that knows the Savior, there's an instant knitting of hearts? I've been to India. I've been to Haiti. And my heart has been knit with people I've never laid eyes before in my life. But they love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have a common fellowship. We have a common fellowship. Now look at your fellowship this morning. What is your heart knit to? To whom are you knit to? If there are people that you're knit to that don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have an affinity for those folks. Now, we ought to love them. I'm not saying that we ought not to love sinners. Jesus Christ loves sinners. But there is a special bond and fellowship between believers and Christ. You love them, and you want to pray for them, and you want to see that they're taken care of. You want to do good to the brethren. Why? Because you have a new disposition. That's why. John 13 and verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." Well, that's pretty clear. I can know that I'm His disciple? Yes, if ye love one another. That's pretty clear, is it not? When I get saved, I have a new love for other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's put there by God Almighty because it wasn't natural. You know, we don't naturally... Now, let's just be honest here. We don't naturally love our fellow man. All right? We get into squabbles and scrabbles with neighbors. You go out into your yard and something got thrown into your yard from the other end. back over into their yard. Okay? I show them. Next morning you come out, it's back over in your yard again. Okay? I'm going to throw it farther. Other side. Okay? We don't naturally love. Why? Because we're sinners. We're sinners. The Bible says that in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves, and the natural love for each other will wane. Isn't it amazing how many people are being murdered and killed all around the world? Someone said yesterday on the news that there have been 43,000 people killed in Mexico in the last 2 years. I was just devastated when I heard that. You look at what's going on in Syria. You look what's going on in Egypt. You look what's going on in the hot spots all around the world and people that are losing their life. We live in a bloody, violent world. But the testimony of believers is that we love one another. That's what the new birth will do for you. We surely understand that not every brother and sister in Christ is walking in fellowship with Christ. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 14 through 15, that if a brother is not walking according to the Word of God, then we're to separate from them. Listen, it says we are to not keep company with them, that they may be ashamed, yet do not count them as an enemy, but admonish him or her as a brother or sister. You still love them? You still love them? You want to see them come back? We don't keep company with them because we want to see them get right and come back to God. That's love. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. I didn't say that. God said that. You hate your brother, you're a murderer. It is not possible to love God if we do not love our fellow man. For the Bible says in 1 John 4 and verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, do you know the rest of the verse? He is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Pretty striking verses. The fellowship of those born again is the most satisfying and productive among all fellowships. And again, the point should be made that this fellowship is a spiritual one. It's a spiritual fellowship, having its roots in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5 and verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth Him that He begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. In other words, you love your other brothers and sisters in Christ. Last of all, the new birth results in a new standard of righteousness. Now get this now. The new birth, the regeneration, results in a new standard of righteousness. The old disposition had its own standard. It was constantly changing. Constantly changing on how I felt. Sometimes we'll do something for somebody else. We won't do it for some other person because we don't like them. But we'll do it for this person because we like them. The standard's always changing. But whenever you're saved, there's a new standard of righteousness. 1 John 2 and verse 29, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. Righteousness is that character or quality of being right or just in the sight of God. Not my own righteousness, because the Bible says that's filthy rags, but a new righteousness, which is Jesus Christ. I'm clothed in Him. I'm put in Him. Men have varying standards of righteousness, and they are sometimes twisted and misguided standards. Romans 10, verses 2 through 3 puts it this way, they are standards not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In other words, they've got a different set of standards. Can you imagine if you were to go shopping down here at Winn-Dixie to the meat market? All right? And you ask the person behind the meat market there, is your scales accurate? Oh, yes, they're accurate. They're accurate. Mr. O'Pager told about the story about they had a butcher in Chicago that would put his finger on the scale as he was looking at the meat so it would make it look like it was more than what they really got. All right? And you ask him, are your scales accurate? Well, we don't know whether they are or not. We're hoping that some inspector's coming along and checking to make sure that if you got 8 ounces of steak that you walk out of there with 8 ounces and not six. You hope the scale's right. For the sinner, the scale's changing all the time. But with Jesus Christ, the righteousness, the standard never changes. Never changes. And when you become His child, you adopt His set of standards. You make the change. He never changes. Such a beautiful picture. They refuse to believe that all our righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah 64 and verse 6. But after we are born again, Christ becomes our righteousness. This righteousness is imputed to the believer by God on the faith principle, apart from the works principle. Some people think they can be saved by doing a lot of good things, but they can't. You can't do enough good things. God's already said that. You've got to come on the faith principle and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then receive that free gift of righteousness that is found in Him. Our standards of what is right and wrong are only to be found in the Word of God. Not by what's been passed down from generation to generation. You've got to check it against the Word of God. Constantly check it against the Word of God. This is interesting. This phrase, born again. Born again. Anothen is the Greek word. And it's better translated from above. That's what the word means. Born from above. I think sometimes born again gets confusing to people. But when you say born from above, that makes a distinction, does it not? We were born here upon this earth, but when you're born from above, you're born into Jesus Christ. Not a physical birth that we're talking about, but a spiritual birth. Being born from above means that we're going to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then we're told by the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Colossians 3 and verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Why? The old disposition is earthbound. That hostile disposition is earthbound. It loves the earth. It loves everything about the earth. It loves the philosophies and the music and everything else. But when you're born from above, you set your affections on things which are above. Oh, that's a new disposition. Brand new. These are the three manifestations. Number one, the new birth results in a new life. Number two, the new birth results in a new fellowship. And number three, the new birth results in a new standard of righteousness. We can conclude then that the regenerated person has been given power from on high to obey God and to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Those are the things that we look for. Those are the manifestations of the new birth. The act of regeneration is instantaneous. That changing of disposition, hostile disposition, the new disposition comes in and takes the place. Oh, we still have that old man, he's there. But there's a new man on the throne, a new disposition that is oriented toward God, not toward this world. There are young people here that got things right with God this past week. I typed them out, all the ones that I knew of, that had made professions of faith and so forth, and I'm going to make them my daily prayer request, but I'm also praying for others. There are some others that are still hostile toward God. They have that old disposition. They haven't had a Billy Bray moment in their life. The coal miner that I told you about, filthy, vile, hostile disposition, and then was converted and had a new disposition. And the cursing went to blessing. That needs to happen if it hasn't happened in your heart and life. It needs to happen. And for those that it happened this week, by God's grace, you need to get yourself in the Word of God. You're like a plant that needs water and needs food. And the only way you're going to grow And the only way you're going to get stronger, and the only way that you're going to be right with God and walk with Him, is to walk in His Word and see these manifestations. They're not something that you can work up. All right? They're not something that you can produce on your own. They are works of God in your heart. There are things that you will see when you get saved. And if you don't see them, then you need to ask yourself, why do I not see these things in my life? Why are these manifestations not here? Because it's because you're not saved. You need to trust in Him. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the opportunity that we've had this past week to hear the preaching of the Word of God and how You worked in a very powerful way and how individuals responded to the testimony of the Word of God. Salvation is not a work of the flesh. Oh, we see false professions all over this world. People that have old dispositions talking about how much they love Jesus and talking about Jesus, but they live such wicked lifestyles. They don't know the truth. They just don't know the truth. Lord, I pray that You would work in the hearts and lives of those, not only those that made professions of faith in Christ. Lord, we pray for them that they would grow in grace and in the knowledge. God, You give the power to grow. You provide through Your Word the means whereby we are strengthened and grow in grace and in knowledge of Thee on a daily basis. But there has to be a new disposition there in order to grow. That's the only way you can take a weed and make it into a plant that will produce. There must be a transformation, a regeneration that takes place. Father, I pray that You would work in our hearts. Lord, if there's those that are here today without Christ, may they not push this off. There were some that did not respond over this past week. They just sat in their chair, never responding in any way, shape, or form. They need to be transformed. They need to be changed. And only You can do that work. I can't do it. Pastor Watt can't do it. No one seated here can do it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring about that regeneration, that instantaneous change of disposition, where we are changed from being unfavorably oriented to being favorably oriented toward Thee. Father, we pray that You would do a work in our hearts going forward, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.